wild game going on in the World Cup right now between Ghana and Korea Republic. Ghana goes up 2-0. Korea ties it at 2. Ghana just scored their third goal in the 72nd minute, I should say. This game is something special, no doubt. Tuna TSN.
Not just the game, AK. The two games so far this morning. It's Golapalooza.
It is. It is. It's like 80s hockey at the World Cup right now. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun to watch, and we'll be tuned in, no doubt, through the duration of the morning. We've got Brazil playing today. We've got Portugal playing today. So a lot of star power, no doubt, in the World Cup. We hope some of the Raptors' star power will be back in the lineup soon, perhaps as early as tonight. The Raptors hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers. A man who covers the team, a good friend of this program, Aaron Rose from Sports Illustrated. What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing well, and yes, we might have a few stars back tonight, although I'm not entirely optimistic, but hope is on the horizon. The cavalry is returning for the Raptors any day now.
So who are we talking about? Who do you think's making a return?
I think we'll probably see Delano Banton back tonight, although that's probably not the star power you guys are referring to. Scotty Barnes and Pascal Siakam are questionable tonight. It sounds a little iffy, and it's always hard to get reads on these things. Nick Nurse isn't, always the most truthful when it comes to these things. And
Forthcoming.
There you go. So he had said earlier in the week that Pascal would probably be back at some point on the road. So that's the next two games. I think they're in New Orleans and Brooklyn. He said that Scotty, all these guys have been practicing. So I don't know what's going on. Probably have to ask Alex McKechnie, which we're not really allowed to do. But certainly at some point this week, they will be back.
So let's go back to Saturday before we look ahead to tonight against Cleveland, where Luka Doncic comes to town, one of the best offensive players we've seen the last 20 years in the NBA. Guys, an absolute dynamo. And the Toronto Raptors, and one man in particular, OG Anunoby, they've got a difficult assignment. The way the Raptors defended Doncic, it's classic Nick Nurse, right? I mean, they did not let Doncic, they were doubling him, they were forcing the ball out of his hands constantly. Doncic just 15 field goal attempts. That's his lowest in a long time. And the way that OG Anunoby performed, not only defensively against Doncic, but also offensively, he goes for 26 points, including 12 in the fourth quarter, Aaron. I mean, OG Anunoby, this is something special that we're seeing, and he is extremely, extremely impressive these days on both sides of the floor. What did you see from him on Saturday against a tough matchup in Doncic?
Well, it's funny you mentioned he hasn't had 15, Doncic hasn't had 15 shot attempts in a long time. Well, the last time he had 15 shot attempts in the game was earlier this season, also against the Toronto Raptors. So as you mentioned, Nick always is coming up with these crazy schemes, and it starts with, let's put our best defender, OG Anunoby, on their best offensive player, but let's also send help this way, because Nick always talks about, you're going to have to take something, you're going to take something away from a team, but you're going to have to give things up. Especially earlier in the game, you kept seeing Doncic would make the right play. They double-team him, and he'd make a pass. He didn't get a ton of assists off those passes necessarily, and I think part of that was Dallas just wasn't scoring very well. But he would make those hockey assists, so one pass and then the next pass. But as for OG Anunoby, you're starting to hear about it from other teams. Luka Doncic was praising him after the game, called him an amazing player, said his offense is really coming along. I think Maxi Kleber said the same thing, that he's like a really strong player and somebody you're going to have to double-team when he gets deep in the paint. Jason Kidd was praising OG Anunoby as well, and maybe that's just because we were asking them, you know, what are they going to say? But I think we're seeing some development from OG. What's interesting is that with Pascal Siakam coming back at some point in the next few days, OG's opportunities are going to shift. They'll probably lessen a little bit. He's not going to be the number one guy, but that also means he's not going to get the superstar attention that he sort of had the past few games. So I could see his shots per game, his probably points per game coming down. He's not going to average, let's say, 22 points per game or whatever it is for the past 10 games. But his efficiency should go up. And I think you'll see Pascal Siakam gets the double team. He kicks it out to OG Anunoby. And now OG's probably playing with more confidence. And there have been times in the past where people have talked about, well, what could you get for OG Anunoby? Should they trade him? Teams were interested in him over the summer. I think you look at a guy like this and you understand why the Raptors have been so high on him. He's always been injured, but finally, knock on wood, he's stayed healthy so far this year. And you're seeing a guy who is truly one of the best two-way players in the league. He's an elite defensive player, and his offense is really coming along. That's really exciting to see for the Raptors.
Yeah, thank God he's been healthy, because he's been sort of, you know, holding the fort here for the Raptors as they navigate through their adversity with injuries. And I mean, what can you say about Gary Trent Jr.? Can you say the same thing about him and his game? Because I know last week he was called out by Nurse, and it looks like he's responded a little bit with his defensive intensity. But what type of role can you see him playing in this roster when they're fully healthy?
I would say he had his best defensive game in a while last game. Now, we're grading on a bit of a curve here. Gary is not a particularly good defender. But when he is pesky, as he was the other night, he can, you know, get in passing lanes, pick off passes. I think he had 4 steals in the game, maybe a couple more deflections. I remember him drawing an offensive foul, which was all in the first half. The problem is, he has just been mired in the deepest, longest shooting slump. He's shooting something below maybe 37% over the last month. A few missed games in there, but since I think October 28th, so a month ago, he's been shooting something like 37% from the field. I was looking at these numbers this morning, 22%, I think, from three-point range. And he did not see any playing time in the fourth quarter the other night. Now, Nick said he was looking to get Gary in. There were a few opportunities. He was discussed. You know, they wanted to get him in and never had an opportunity. But I think he played something like 7 minutes in the second half the other night. So, listen, he's not a great defender. That was coming along a little bit. But really, what he does so well, at least in theory, is he's a very good scorer and somebody who can create a shot for himself, which at times the Raptors don't have a ton of guys who can do that.
So we see...
He hasn't been able to make the most of those opportunities, missing a ton of shots. And if he's not giving you the offense, he's not a very good passer. He's just an okay defender. And right now, it's been really shaky for Gary Trent Jr. I think that's why we didn't see him in the second half the other night.
Aaron Rose is our guest from Sports Illustrated. He covers the Toronto Raptors, who host the Cavaliers tonight. And we saw that matchup early in the season. The Raps beat Cleveland by 3. Was that opening night? I believe that might have been opening night.
It was,
Clearly, the Raptors have their hands full tonight with Donovan Mitchell, who's averaging more than 30 a game in his first season with Cleveland. Would you expect the Raptors to employ a similar defensive philosophy with Mitchell that they did with Doncic on Saturday, Aaron?
Yeah, I would imagine they will be sending pressure his way. I'm not sure he will get the OG Anunoby treatment, just because, again, it depends who's healthy. They can probably do that if Siakam is back, but they might need Anunoby on some of the bigger guys. The Raptors don't have a ton of size, and we know that with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, I assume Cleveland hasn't put out their injury report and they're playing on back-to-back. But assuming those guys are both in there tonight, Cleveland has a ton of size. They're a really, really good team, and I think that's something that we might see the Raptors have to do a couple different things, because they're going to have to defend those two skilled guards, but they're also going to have to protect the paint. I think that's why you see Cleveland as one of the best teams in the league. But I would imagine, as always, Nick is always going to be scheming up some crazy defensive scheme, and usually that means a lot of pressure against superstars.
Aaron, we are about to embark on the 20th game of the season for the Raptors. They currently sit 10-9, seventh in the East. I guess an evaluation point here, because we're entering the quarter point of the season, but how would you sort of analyze, you know, the Raptors' record and where they are right now? Would you say that it's where you expected them to be, they've exceeded expectations, or should they be better than what their record shows right now?
I almost want to say, can I punt this till the next time we chat? Because it's been so difficult to really analyze this team, because I think, you know, the past few weeks, we've seen Malachi Flynn and Juancho Hernangómez and all these guys that, like, are not going
Bo
to
be. Bo Cruz, baby. Bo right Cruz. Here.
Although, no offense to Bo Cruz, he's not the guy from the movie. So we're talking about some guys who are not going to play much when everyone is healthy. So the Raptors look like a pretty good team right out of the gate when everyone is healthy. And I guess not everyone was healthy, but you're never going to get that to wait until you have, you know, your top 8 guys. We saw Otto Porter Jr. miss time at the beginning of the season. But when you have, like, your core 5 or 6, the Raptors have been pretty good this year. The problem is they just haven't had those guys for very long. I remember reading a story, I think it was by Doug Smith, that the Raptors front office wanted to take 20 to 25 games to start analyzing the team, not make any changes. And then they were going to say, okay, what are we? What do we need to add or subtract at the trade deadline? Which direction should we go in? All those things. And I think they might, just like me, they might have to punt that maybe to the 30-game mark just to say, okay, what does this group look like when there's something close to healthy? I'm not sure we have a great answer for that right now.
No, and that's exactly it. And I'm sure there's a constant evaluation going on with the guys that are at least in the lineup. But when you're talking about Siakam out, Scotty Barnes missing time, Banton, who may indeed return tonight, Precious Achiuwa, like, these are significant contributors to your rotation. So the fact that the Raptors are 10-9 in spite of all these injuries, I mean, it's incredible. It really is. But that's what good coaching does, man. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised. Nick Nurse is a maestro in his role, and I think he's been doing his thing that he seemingly does every single year with the Toronto Raptors, where the expectations are at a certain level, especially with this year with all the injuries, they should be lower, and they continue just to blow right past them. So I'm sure tonight they'll just do some serious work against Cleveland and win in spite of, again, maybe Siakam Barnes are in the lineup, maybe not, but it doesn't seem to matter with the Raptors, who just get performances from guys like Chris Boucher, who's been really good as well, Aaron. And seeing that type of stuff, and in the long term, when you have guys thrust into roles that they maybe wouldn't play when everyone's healthy, that bodes well. Much like for the Toronto Maple Leafs, in many respects, the Raps and the Leafs are kind of a similar boat with all the injuries they've suffered, but that could pay dividends in the long term for the Raptors too, right? With guys like Boucher stepping into roles that they wouldn't occupy with guys who are actually injured right now. Is that a fair assessment of the situation?
Boucher has been playing some of the best basketball of his career. I actually asked Fred about it the other night, and he said, well, did you watch him play in the G League? He was box office. So he hasn't looked quite as good as he did in the G League, but obviously much tougher competition. And you're right, he hasn't stepped into an entirely different role in the sense that he's still, for the most part, coming off the bench. And that's something the Raptors have really liked. He's a high-energy guy right off the bench early in that first quarter. And he's been probably one of their best, you know, five players, certainly over this stretch when guys are banged up. But I think he's really, Chris, has grown accustomed to that role, has found comfort in coming off the bench, something that we've seen in the past. Guys are always trying to get in the starting lineup. They always want a bigger role. I think we've seen Chris sort of accept that responsibility, and he's thriving. He's 2 years ago, when they were down in Tampa, he had his best offensive season of his career. Last year, his offense came down, but his defense got back to where it needed to be. I think this year, he's putting those two things together. His three-point shot is looking better. His defense is looking really good. And you've got a really, really good sixth man coming off the bench. He's not going to be in sixth man of the year conversation because he's not, you know, the Lou Williams guard who scores whatever it is, 17, 20 points off the bench. But when we're talking about a guy who's double-doubles, who's making an impact at both ends of the floor, something that we don't always talk about, Chris Boucher is right up there as one of the most impactful bench players in the NBA.
Should be a fun one tonight. The Cavaliers in town. You'll be covering it for Sports Illustrated. He is Aaron Rose. Thanks for doing this, man. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right, you got it. Aaron Rose from Sports Illustrated covering the Toronto Raptors. I've got my FanDuel best bets coming up on the other side. May involve a Toronto Raptor or two. We'll tell you about that next.